Nelson Bang, and you are listening to Syracuse University GradCast. Today in our careers in series, I am joined by Carly Flynn. She is an associate at McKinsey & Company and has a pretty interesting set of prior experiences that I'm really excited to hear her talk about as a former postdoc at RIT and then through the PhD. So welcome, Carly. I'm glad to have you here.
Thanks, Anne. Excited to be here.
So maybe we can start off with your experience at Syracuse. How did your time here prepare you or not prepare you, perhaps, for the role that you're doing? And how does your trajectory look going out from there?
Yep. So when I joined Syracuse University, I came with my advisor from Carnegie Mellon. And we were actually starting a new research group in the civil engineering department. And so a lot of my experiences of kind of getting to start a new research program from the ground up has helped prepare me a lot for what the job of a management consultant typically is, because there's a lot of new problems that you have to deconstruct and find a way how to solve. And so a lot of my time at Syracuse University was spent thinking through these big crunchy problems, like how and why cities are adopting more sustainable technologies, how and why students are learning about engineering in different ways. And so getting to have that entrepreneurial experience as a PhD student was really helpful for me in my current role.
I think it's interesting because I don't find people often think of a PhD or even being a professor as entrepreneurial, but I've always seen it in that way. You're looking for money, you're starting things up and negotiating with various vendors. It really has a lot of that aspect of it in the sciences.
Definitely. And it wasn't something that I had thought about as being one of the awesome aspects of doing a PhD. A lot of folks might think that you kind of come in and you do pre-programmed lab work and you're just running through this research that's been handed to you. But I think most PhDs that I've talked with have had similar experiences where, you know, you come in with a plan and that plan immediately blows up. You kind of have to constantly work through problems, whether that's lack of funding, like real logistical problems, or some of the more like bigger methodological problems, trying to find the right methods that match your theories. As you're learning and discovering new things along the way, you might completely pivot. And I think that happened to me a few times during my PhD. I would start to, I remember especially in the early years when I was pulling together my proposal for my candidacy exam, having to start again several times, which can be quite exhausting and a little bit difficult of a period through your PhD. But I think being able to work through that and figure out, you know, the best way forward, the best path to reach the research questions that you're trying to answer is useful for a number of industries. But and also on a personal level, just helping you work through some of these big, difficult problems. It was one of the best, I think, things that I walked away from my PhD with, was just knowing that I could go into any situation where there might be a lot of unknowns, but figure out a way to get through those and find the answers.
I think a lot of this is an inflection point for people. They either can't stand this aspect of it or they really like it, but it's always a kind of defining piece of it, and especially in the sciences, you know, are these problems something that beat you down, or are they the start of something exciting for you? Is the entrepreneurial part something that you can't stand and you want to get away from as fast as possible, or is it what kind of inspires you? Mm-hmm. And so it's interesting because I think everybody getting a PhD, but particularly in the sciences, has a very strong view of this particular set of aspects of the PhD, but not everybody knows how to talk about it. And I think that you have done a good job, knowing you for a while, of figuring out how to help others understand what it is that you can do and what the PhD has taught you.
Definitely. I would say if there's one word that stands out to me for my career, including my PhD in the last 10 years or so, has been adaptability.
Yes.
So I graduated undergrad in 2009. So it was fall 2008 when I was first on the job market. And that was a pretty rough experience on the job market. Not the best for any millennial who remembers that time and being on the job market. And so the first time I really had to pivot, you know, I had originally wanted to work at an environmental consulting firm. I'd had several internships that got me really excited about doing kind of boots on the ground work. But since there weren't too many opportunities there, I pivoted to grad school and got my master's in environmental engineering, knowing that, you know, I enjoyed the boots on the ground, but also was very interested in research. So when I started pursuing research there, that opened up the opportunity to pursue a PhD as well. And I think throughout the PhD, there are multiple pivots. I mentioned for my research program and what questions I was really chasing down. But keeping that mentality of being adaptable the whole time and knowing that it's not necessary that something's wrong. It may just be a new problem that you're facing that you have to work through and think through can be very helpful mentality. And that happened to me again as I was deciding what I wanted to do post-PhD.
I remember it well.
Yeah. Dan, I remember it coming to Dan so many times, just trying to think through these problems of like, do I want to go to academia? Do I want to go to consulting? There were so many aspects of different jobs that appealed to me. And it was really a matter of kind of finding the right fit, the right opportunities at the time. And so I had loved a lot of aspects of academia. I loved teaching. And so a postdoc was a really exciting opportunity for me at RIT. It was the first time that I got to do full-time teaching, full-time research, and get to really feel what that would be like to be a professor for the long term. And there was so much that I loved about it, but there was still a bit of something missing for me. And so I had to take a step back, reflect a bit more of what I really wanted long-term out of my career. And consulting really stood out to me as I reached out to my friends, my network to talk through what would be a good fit. Really felt like consulting would help to pull together some of those pieces that I was missing. And so the last few years I've been really fulfilled and excited about the role that I have. It's been a great transition so far.
Can you tell us a bit about that role? I think that people know what consulting is, but not necessarily what goes into it.
Sure. So the industry that I'm in is management consulting, which is a pretty broad term. We have a lot of different industries and a lot of different functions where broadly what we're doing is helping organizations and companies think through some of their biggest challenges. And so a lot of my day-to-day work is being a problem solver for a variety of problems. It's a good way to describe it. So most of my work focuses on energy, utility, and chemical companies, helping them with transformational initiatives. So that could be wanting to become best-in-class utility. That could be helping to turn around their overall performance. Or it could be helping them through a big transitional moment, such as a merger with another company, and thinking through how to implement that. And so a lot of that adaptability that I learned from my PhD and those problem-solving skills come into play every day, because there may be, you know, a lot of useful learnings that we have from experts in our firm of how to work through these problems. But every company, every client, every person is very unique. And so every day you have to really think through problems with a new lens and a new light. And that's why at my company, McKinsey, there are actually, they recruit PhDs quite often because of that skill set that a PhD builds and thinking through problems in a different way and being able to develop hypotheses, methods to then go ahead and tackle that hypothesis and that problem, but then being able to pivot and adapt when new things get thrown at you or things don't quite work out.
Sure. What does a day look like for you? Is it characterizable? Are they similar enough to one another? Or what does the job really look like in that sense from your perspective?
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think of 2 days that have ever looked the same for me. It's
a good problem, I think.
It's exciting, and it's one of the aspects that does appeal to me a lot is the variety. I think that was something a bit more unique about my PhD is I really sought out a lot of different disciplines, professors to work with, because I just love variety, and it's something that I've constantly sought out in my career. And so to answer your question, 2 days on what does a typical day look like for me on the job? So we'll often start by checking in as a team. A lot of my job is conducted in small teams. And so we'll meet, check in with the plan for the day. And then there may be some time if I'm working on a big analytical study to do some modeling or data collection. Often you're checking in with clients. So it's kind of this balance of doing some heads down work and then having client meetings to discuss and think through the problem, share initial insights, and then going back and thinking through the problem and what additional data needs to be collected, what additional analyses should be run. So there's a lot of internal meetings, a lot of client meetings, and then a lot of kind of problem solving that you're doing along the way.
One thing that's different about academia and a lot of other industries is that in academia, the meetings are the interruption, and in lots of other areas, the meeting is the work.
Exactly. Yeah. I would say the meetings are where most of the work gets done and a lot of the problem solving. So in academia, I remember so much of it being solo time, which I'm a natural introvert, so I do love the solo time. But that was one thing that stood out to me, and I didn't want that to be a primary aspect of the career, of my career for the rest of my career. And so working in small teams was another aspect that really appealed to me about consulting. And the meetings that we have with clients, meetings that we have internally, are some of the highlights of my day, because that's really where you get to share the work that you're doing, much like you would in academia, sharing it at a conference or sharing it in your research group. But it's an aspect where a lot of the problem solving kind of comes together as well.
I see that you're working from home, although our listeners can't see that. Pre-COVID, though, and you had this job pre-COVID, it would involve a lot of traveling, isn't that right?
Yeah, typically my job would be Monday through Thursday travel, and then Friday working in the home office. And so it was quite a big change when we had to start sheltering in place and social distancing due to COVID.
Do you miss the travel?
I miss some aspects of the travel. I enjoyed it for the first few months, then kind of got used to it. So COVID has been, working from home has been somewhat of a welcome shift. Obviously, there's a lot of downsides to it as well, especially for my job. It does take away a little bit of the aspect of getting to work shoulder to shoulder with clients and your team. So it's been a tough transition, but we most of it, and I feel like we've settled into a new normal, which has been an interesting transition.
How did you decide on, we talked about the ways that you made the consideration, but how did consulting pop into your head? There are lots of different kinds of jobs you could have done. You could have done advocacy jobs, government jobs, nonprofits. How did consulting rise in that pile of opportunities or options for you?
Mm-hmm. So consulting stood out to me. So there's the teamwork aspect, which really appealed to me. But one of the biggest shifts away from academia as well was getting to work with the clients directly on their problems. So my PhD, a lot of my research questions actually were, or a lot of my research methods involved interviewing major stakeholders. So city mayors, county executives, city engineers, to get to understand how and why they were making decisions. And I really enjoyed that aspect, but I felt like I wanted to take those insights I was developing and actually talk to them about how they could improve their systems rather than just getting to understand it from a research perspective. And so when I reached out to my network of colleagues from my graduate programs, I had found a few folks who had transitioned into consulting. And that's where I got to learn about getting to work with their clients on these strategies and how to implement them. And so I was really looking for that last piece of implementing some of the insights that I was developing. And that was the biggest push for me to move into consulting.
Do you miss research?
I miss some parts of research, but it's funny. A lot of what we do as consultants, to me, is very similar to research. We're usually working from a little bit more of an 80-20 perspective of getting the insights that will make, you know, the biggest impact for our clients. We're not working to that 99.9% scientific accuracy level that a lot of researchers are working towards. And so I do miss some of the aspects of research, but the insights that we're developing along with clients and the work that we're doing with them, I think there are a lot of parallels to research that still fulfill me in my job.
What advice do you have for grad students now that you've finished and transitioned first into the teaching postdoc, so to speak, and then into McKinsey? What do you look back and wish that you had known, or what would you like to say?
I think in addition to just being adaptable to things getting thrown your way as a PhD or a grad student in general, broadly, looking back at my time as a grad student, I would say take advantage of all opportunities to explore while you can. It's a very flexible time in your life, and later, while you know, discovering new hobbies and new ideas for the rest of your life can be aspirational, I would say it's a great time to take advantage of that. And so it's not just, I would say, take advantage of that in terms of your research, you know, reach out to new professors, go to lectures in different disciplines, try new methods, because that was something that really sparked a lot of new ideas for me along the way. But also outside of your research, you know, try to connect with different groups across campus, try to join different organizations and roles, because that was something that I did a lot of that was very refreshing, to take a break from research and get to lead different student organizations. And those types of experiences can help you try on different hats to see also what you really get energized doing if it's not research. And especially if research, you know, sometimes there's these times that it can feel a bit of a drag, or you're having a little bit of trouble with your research, having an opportunity to flex some skills outside of the lab can be refreshing. And that's where, yeah, I feel like a lot of my leadership skills that I use on a daily basis with my teams and clients as a consultant, I really developed in some of those student organization roles. And so it's really great if you can find, if, you know, academia is not really clicking, or a lot of the traditional career paths for a grad student aren't clicking, to just keep searching and trying on different things until you find something that really sparks your passion.
I remember when we were working together that some of those student orgs, and one in particular, were pretty influential on you and clearly were a big part of your kind of mindset. Can you tell us a little bit more about your involvement in student organizations?
Sure. So I think one of the first ones that I really got involved with at Syracuse was called Net Impact. So as a student organization, there's a national level, and there had been a chapter in the past that had kind of gone defunct. And so there was some interest on campus of restarting it. And I stepped up right away and knew that I wanted to have a leadership role here. So I was the president of that student organization for a few years. And what I enjoyed the most about that experience, I knew I was passionate about it because it really was focused on helping students understand how they can make an impact with the studies that they were pursuing. And so it was quite formative in terms of thinking about how to apply the skills that you're developing as a student outside of academia, since it can feel like quite a bubble sometimes. And remember that there are these bigger problems and bigger experiences and bigger challenges that you'll get to conquer once you're done with your studies.
Any final words before we go?
I'd say that one final thing that I would want to pass on to grad students, in addition to being adaptable and trying new things throughout their studies, would be to build a network of supporters while you're at Syracuse. Graduate studies, especially PhD, can feel quite lonely and isolating at times. And I think a lot of folks who have spent any significant amount of time upstate can know that even the region can be a bit isolating, and work from home now can be quite isolating. But one thing that really was fulfilling for me along the way at Syracuse was building my network, my research network of professors and colleagues, my graduate program, my personal network of friends along the way that I developed, but also your professional network. There's, you know, conferences and things like that, but there's also a lot of great support networks, such as Dan and the folks at the grad school, that really helped me think through and work through some of these problems, because, you know, it's one thing to be adaptable, but sometimes you have to have some help kind of point you in the right direction, open those opportunities, especially up for you, and make sure you're well prepared once you realize what career path you want to go down, so that you can go in full force and feeling prepared.
Thank you so much, Carly. It's been great talking to you and hearing about your experience, and always good to be with you.
Awesome, Dan. It was so great to catch up. Happy to be here. And if anyone wants to reach out, feel free to look me up in LinkedIn.
You've been listening to Syracuse University GradCast. Have a great day.